Welcome to the Chasing Brighter podcast.
You're about to go on a journey of self-discovery as we chase a brighter you. Every single week, we will bring you new episodes that will cover everything from lifestyle and tips to more serious conversations about grief, life, and hardships.
Allow this show to be a reminder to always keep chasing a brighter version of you. Let's get into it.
Hi, everybody. Today, we are delving into the transformative journey of two remarkable women who, despite success in their careers, decided to embark on a new path of self-discovery and authenticity by starting a podcast. It's me and Jay. In our 40s, we found ourselves at a crossroads in life. We had achieved success in our careers, yet we felt a stirring within, a desire for something more profound, something that resonated with the essence of who we truly were. It was during our candid conversations over coffee that the idea was born, a podcast that would serve as a beacon of inspiration for women everywhere, encouraging them to embark on their own journeys of self-discovery and authenticity. Kelly, with her background in marketing, and myself, a seasoned therapist, realized that we possessed a wealth of wisdom and experiences that could light the way for others seeking to live more authentically. So join us today as we go back and explore our own journeys.
So I'm really excited to be talking about this today and really talk through our own career paths and what brought us to where we are, maybe a mix of personal and professionally, and really talk through early years, dive into what challenges we faced and how we overcame them, and then our own kind of journey going forward as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the early years. I think just being a woman in the job market or being a female for our generation was really that first, I feel like, generation where we felt like we were equal. And I feel like we were raised that way in some way, but there was always a flavor of being, waking up in that like woman in a man's world.
Yeah, I think just to follow up on that. So our mother was told she could be a secretary or a nurse. It was like pink collar
professions. Back in the day or
right. So if you went to college, it was like, she was told, the principal was like, you could be a secretary or a nurse. And she was like, oh, I like to help people. I'll be a nurse. And so I think maybe not for me equity, but definitely like we could choose our own path. Like we weren't like, oh, Jess, you should be a teacher or whatever. It was like, oh, I could be anything I wanted to be.
Yeah, I don't think there were any expectations on us about what we should be. Like we could be anything. Our generation of friends who I grew up with, all of us girls, right? Like bopped around with different things because we all felt like we could do anything. Back in the fourth and fifth grade, it was like president of the United States or an astronaut or a lawyer. Not sure which one. But I think that really having that support in some way, shape, or form up through college really helped shape me career-wise, I think, in terms of what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
What was your dream job, even while you're in college? What was your plan? What was your thinking on what you were going to do?
I resonate so much. You read Becoming, Michelle Obama.
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah, okay. Yes, so good.
So if you haven't read the book, basically, Michelle Obama was smart. And so if you're smart and you want to impress people, you become like a lawyer. So she became a lawyer because she wanted to impress people. She knew her parents worked really hard to get her and her brother the opportunities that they had. And so she's, I'm just going to go to an Ivy League and be a lawyer because that's what smart people do. So I felt like doctor or lawyer because I felt like I was trying to impress people when they asked me. It wasn't a desire for me to do those things, but it was like, that's what smart people did. And so I went to college pre-med. It's funny. I really think it was to like impress people when they asked. Looking back, I don't think I had a desire to do medicine or science or anything like that. And I changed my major sophomore year to psychology because I was good at talking with people and I was very impressionable in college. How were you? Like if I had a professor that had a cool job, I was like, oh, I'm going to do that job. And then I'm like, oh, you have a cool job. I'm going to do that job. And someone said American Studies is really fun. So then I changed my major to American Studies.
Which was like a newer major.
Yeah. And you did like half political American history classes. And the other half, you chose concentrations. And mine was journalism and sociology, I believe. And it was sociology / anthropology. And I had a friend that was like, hey, I'm going to go to California and work at a homeless shelter in the summer. You want to go? We'll stay for free. And so it was not altruistic. I was legit just trying to get out of Kansas and go to San Diego for the summer. And it changed my entire life. I changed everything and then went into the social work field and worked with the homeless. How about your
journey? That's awesome. I was strong in math and science and was really pushed toward engineering. I don't know if I loved it. I had a dream of being a fashion designer, although I had no foundation of any creativity. I had never even taken an art class.
And I also think that that was definitely like not a real job when we were growing up.
We weren't encouraged to do that.
That wasn't like a real thing, art or design. It was like, no, you need to get insurance.
And then I also liked the marketing advertising side of things as well.
Yeah.
But was really pushed. And I read Earth and Balance by Al Gore back in whenever that came out. And I was pretty sure I needed to save the environment and the world. So I want to do environmental stuff. So then I was doing environmental engineering was like my focus. And I want to do water quality, air quality. And then going to college, they didn't have that major. I was put in civil engineering, which is not my jam. And I learned that a little longer. It took me a little longer to figure out than usual. Moving over to marketing, I actually had a job in college. What got me my career path was really my job in college when I worked at the Business Information Center, the BIC is what it was called, and we managed all online periodicals. And I had to manage a Excel file of, at the time, it was like 10,000 row maximum of Excel back in the day. But we had to maintain a spreadsheet and a database of all these and learn some tech because people would come in and needed to learn different, like, business related software applications. And
what year was that for you?
98, 99.
Like your junior, senior year?
My junior, senior year. That's where I worked. No, because you know how you start in the food hall and then you work your way up.
Yeah.
And so that got me my job in my first like company corporate job.
But were you like inspired or did you like any professors or you were like, oh yeah, I want to do marketing?
I was so intimidated by professors. I had my own issues, I think, because of the struggling I had with engineering that like I never had a good relationship with any professor. But I had a great relationship with my boss in the BIC. She was really amazing. And I think that's what set me on my path. I did interview. I would have dreamed of being like a merchandiser or a buyer with TJ Maxx. They hired on campus, or Sears hired on campus. And so I interviewed multiple times. But I was never the smartest, bestest kid, and I didn't have a lot of tools on how to get jobs with on-campus interviews. You had all these other people who were getting offers and
signing bonuses, and like, yeah, and how are they doing that?
Yeah, nobody was really, I didn't have any clue on how to do any of that. And so I definitely didn't get, that's where I wanted to be, and I didn't get there. But that's the thing I've always told other young women, is you got to let life push you around a little bit too, and you see where you are. So you have this vision in mind, but it's not a direct path. And I think for me, it took me a while to get to where I wanted to be and really discovering that I love technology and I love the business side. And I got a corporate gig early on that really opened a lot of doors for me. It gave me a lot of opportunities to do some things that I wouldn't normally do and set me on a great path in the career I'm still doing in terms of like software implementation and software consulting and strategy work. My first job out of college that I consider the job was working in strategic planning, which was an absolute blast. And it was because I knew how to work spreadsheets.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think, and that's why, I don't know what the company's called, but there's a head, the former CEO of 3M and the former CEO of something. Have you seen where they're like pushing all these companies to not require a degree? Have you seen that? And they're talking about all these companies are requiring a bachelor's degree, but what you really need is a skill set. And if you invest in somebody with a skill set, they're going to be loyal and stay with you. And then 90% of them end up continuing on and getting a degree. And what is, I guess why I say that is because you and I got our first jobs, not because we had a bachelor's degree, but because of the work that we were doing while we're in school, right? Like the volunteer work and the work that I was doing got me my first job. Your work at BIC got you your first job. I'm not saying that our degree doesn't help, but it's just interesting that experience, get a job, get a better job, get a job, get a better job kind of thing.
True. I think there's a couple things. First of all, having a degree at the time from the University of Notre Dame opened a ton of doors. You would always, in the business world, I would get callbacks or interviews because I was the candidate that had Notre Dame on my piece of paper. So that opened a lot of doors for me. Personally, having a marketing degree from a very reputable business college, at the time it wasn't Mendoza School of Business, it was just the School of Business, although it was an undergraduate degree, I still have my books. I used the books. I used them even when I got my first job.
Well, yes.
Strategy. So I think to your point, rarely does that happen now. And so I found a lot of benefit in my degree, and I don't have a master's. I just have a bachelor's, and I've made that work for me. I worked a lot with MBAs or people who had MBAs. I used them to mentor me in some way and take me under the wing and learn a lot of that. I think to your point, learning on the job is much more beneficial. I would also argue maybe college isn't necessarily about the skills. It's that life.
I agree. I don't think of college. I don't think of college as go to college to get a job.
I don't think the piece of paper has the weight or value it had previously.
Yeah.
It depends on where, what you go into, what field you go into.
Now it's like a high school diploma. It's like checking a box.
We were almost the last, I feel like we were the last generation of, because a mix of our friends' parents had college degrees and didn't have college degrees. We're the first generation of everybody goes to college, just go to college and you'll get a job, which worked. These younger kids and younger generation, it's not that way. So you spend all this money and you're not getting a job. So that's a problem. And so I think being more mindful about what people's purpose in life is in a younger age can be really helpful. I think that's the struggle, because many of them then don't want the jobs that we all took. Like, how many friends, or like, I have a handful of friends that are accountants. Accounting was a great, engineering too, right? Those are jobs. Just go and get those because you can easily get a job. Whereas now, the generation behind us, they're definitely more focused on like getting more out of life, and like that job isn't as sexy.
But also, like you talk about, okay, your first job out of college. My first job out of college was a manager of a makeup counter. I was selling Elizabeth Arden at a Kansas City mall, the Jones store.
Matchmaker International Dating Service.
Yeah.
Like, that was my first job out of college. And that was just the most ridiculous.
And that's, I know, that's what I really do. Who said that? Is it Ben Stein? Is Ben Stein that like economist?
Ben Stein's Money?
Yeah. I remember him saying, get a job, get a better job. And that just has stuck with me because I just kept looking, and then I got a job at a homeless shelter being a children's advocate, which is what I wanted to do. My husband worked nights at a lab testing urine for drugs. He's a physician, right? But it's get a job, get a better job. It's you got to get in there and get going. And I think it's just as important to know what you don't want to do as it is what you want to do, right?
So what comes to mind for you as challenges that you faced as a young woman in the working world?
I feel lucky. Like, social work is a female dominated, although most
even
of
when
the
you
CEOs
were, young,
were men.
You,
CEOs
okay,
were men.
Okay, did you face challenges even when as being a younger person?
I found when I got my job in Kansas City at the homeless shelter, it couldn't have been more amazing. It was a homeless shelter for single women and children. Every single person that worked there was a woman. I was so inspired by older women. That's when I found out about an MSW. I don't know if it was being a woman, but when we moved to Philadelphia, Philadelphia has one of the highest concentrations of universities in a city, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many. So I was like, I had to get a master's degree if I wanted to make more money or do anything I wanted to do. And so I went to school, and I have found, even if the room was 95% women, the loudest people were the men in the room. And I do think, like, when you say you were nervous to talk or speak up in professors, I do think there is something there about me struggling to speak up in meetings or things like that. But I feel like my path, it was zigzag. But after going to grad school, I did have when I worked at Penn at the Women's Center, I had an abusive boss.
Yeah.
And she was another woman. And I have a feeling if she were a man, it would have been treated differently. And she was abusive and manipulative, and there was an independent investigation, and I had nightmares for probably a decade after that.
It was a very difficult time for you.
That was terrible. Yeah. But after that, I think, if this makes sense, when you're young, I was very obsessed with what I was doing and how much money I was making. And I wanted what I was doing to be lined up. And I wanted, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to be in the social work field, or this is exactly what I want to do. And this is what I want to get paid. And I was so obsessed with that. And after that experience, what I found out was most important to me is the organizational culture and the environment. So that was a lesson on I want to, who I work for was very important to me, not as much what I was doing, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. How about for you?
I would say that my first big job out of college was at Honeywell. And so it was a big corporation and it was a smaller division in South Bend, Indiana. And it was an amazing experience. But I would say that it was, I was met with equal amount of tremendous support, lots, a handful of mentors, a handful of women who were older and more seasoned, who were looking to help you out and build you up. But it was a, it was manufacturing. It was male dominated. Some of the jobs, like I was always looking to, I was very ambitious at the time. And I really wanted to continue to get more, be more advanced. And I was with groups of people where there were men who were in my team, but like a little older and a little more experienced, who maybe got more opportunities than I did. But I was opportunistic. I definitely, I didn't let it get me down. I remember I wanted to be a customer service manager. And I, this was a job that you would travel a lot internationally because I love to travel and I wanted this particular job. So there were a couple people in those jobs that I was like gunning for their job. Whenever they would leave, that was it. So there was one guy who we all knew that he was probably on his way out. And I will never forget, I went out to a happy hour and this old fat guy, George Burton, told me, because I'm a woman, I will never get that job. He literally told me that. And I actually have it in a journal of the times where I start and stop journals. I
wrote it down. Did you take it personally? Did you believe it?
Yes, absolutely. I came home. I cried. I wrote it down and said, he said this. And it crushed my spirit so much. But at the same time, I knew that he's like a close-minded, old, traditional person. So it made me, I think this is where like you start to make changes in your career paths and things. That wasn't really my path. I, in some ways, I was buying time working in that corporate world to try to get to Chicago because that's where Brian was. So like part of it was like trying to go that way versus where I wanted to go. And it was, that was challenging for me. That was the first time anybody ever told me that because I was a woman, I wouldn't be able to do anything. And it was in the same company that I had a lot of women who were fighting for women. And this was like early on back in the early 2000s, where I think things are even different now. But I had a, it was an amazing experience. I think sometimes you can't dwell on those things. What I learned on that, though, is to continue to be comfortable with myself and not let people get you down. And I have continued to stay in tech, which is a very much a male-dominated industry. And I can't tell you how many times I'm on calls with people who are, it's all guys and me. I would say more often than not, people treat you as an equal. I never feel inadequate, but there are definitely people who feel that way. I was out in traveling in different regions where you definitely see that there are men who look differently upon women. But the thing is, there are women there. There are women with me. And they're like, there are things where it's the girl code that I think helps build us up and not get us down.
Well, I think as you've built yourself up, that it's, it sounds like they respect you if you're, they're equal, but if you're below, you've got, you've gotten some pushback.
I think it depends.
Yeah.
It depends. And I think this was where, in a lot of ways, it's a mindset. And who knows if those people intentionally think that they are better than you.
Yeah.
Like men think that you're better than you, or they, you, I still have a bit of an insecurity where I'm interpreting it that way, but it's not.
And I know we talked before, but I think, I don't know why, like I joke, because we've discovered you bullied me as we were younger, but I have such thick skin that if that person would have said that to me, I'd be like, something's wrong with that man. Like it would have bounced off me, or I would fight it. I would have reported it. There were times where I started investigations at jobs. There were times where I was a whistleblower. There were times where I was part of committees to make change. But I think that's, I've learned to set boundaries, but I think because I push for change and that sucks so much emotional energy from me, I think I find myself better being a solopreneur. It's better for me because I can get sidetracked into the organizational culture and the way things are flowing and the organizational chart. Does that make sense? Like I've changed, I've been in companies where I've changed how you report things. I get sidetracked from what I'm supposed to be doing.
I just went to this networking session this morning with one of my former colleagues, Nicole, who I love. And I met a new colleague and we, the three of us went to this networking thing and I didn't know it was a women's panel and it was actually about coaching and mentorship. One of the things, Jess, that I realized is that one of the advice items I would have for anybody is I felt like I had a tremendous amount of support and mentorship when I was younger. And as I got older and more experienced through, I'm going to say like mid to late 30s, I lost that. I had fewer and fewer mentors or sponsors, and I didn't nurture that. And I think maybe that is something that I would advise women to continue to do, is to stay connected.
Yeah.
There's not a shift that you become a mentor from a mentee. I think you're always a mentee, and finding and staying connected with especially women, but just people in general that you can get advice from and help you grow, because we never stop growing, right? We never stop learning.
During COVID, there was such a feeling of isolation that three of my colleagues and I were meeting weekly and doing sharing cases, and we all had our own private practices. And it was so great to talk about and have case conferences and talk about what we were experiencing. And we're all different ages and backgrounds and experience levels. That was really great. As we talked at the beginning, it didn't, even though it seemed like we could do whatever we wanted, I don't think we were aware of the range of jobs that were out there. And I think like you talked about design, I think there were like creative components that you and I didn't realize could be jobs.
Sure.
And I think that gets to us in our 40s thinking, hey, I want to do something that I'm really passionate about. Right now we have this, we're experts in our field and we're doing we have our own businesses and we're doing great, but I wanted to do something completely different. It's not that I was unhappy with therapy. I enjoy therapy as a mainly trauma therapist. I can only see so many people a day. Like I don't like to see more than 5 people a day. It's very emotionally draining. And I wanted to do something else. And at the same time, you wanted to do something else. And we were at the same time had gone to therapy, couples therapy. I'd been reading all these books, and I think we had decided, wow, like our friends are coming to us about fashion and travel and what we're reading and what therapists we used. And we realized we could have a podcast, and maybe that would be, we could do the passion job together.
Yeah, I think having, and that's, we're definitely at a point in our lives, and I'm excited to be talking with Shannon later on this month from Second Act Success about career change and about pivoting. And I think what I take away from that, Jess, is career change doesn't have to be I'm a this, now I'm a that. You can, career change is figuring out how to grow within your current profession. It's maybe thinking about a different profession. It's maybe doing something in addition to. I like what I do in consulting and I am passionate about that, but I wanted to get more out of something else. And that's like us starting Chasing Brighter and trying something new and something different, which is really what all this is about. I think as we continue on our own life's journey is trying new things, trying something different, continuing to be curious about ourselves and about life.
Yeah. And I think we feel more confident to bet on ourselves. And I think a lot of times too, when you have kids, it changes things, right? Having a podcast is something we can do from anywhere. We can do remotely, and that's flexible. And when you're 18, you're not thinking, oh, what kind of career do I want to have so I can have children and be flexible, right? And so I think it's important that we've adapted, right? We've been resilient. It hasn't been easy. We've had the roller coaster zigzag journey, right? But we've each tried to stay true to our passions and our values.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way to sum up a lot of this conversation, is really staying true to what you love, finding different ways. And sometimes it's a mindset. And sometimes it's a change.
Yeah.
And for all of our listeners out there, I invite you to do the same, thinking about your own evolution as a person, as a career, and what you've gone through. I need to ask my friends this more. These are topics that we really don't even talk about to other women, how they got to where they are, which is super fascinating. And we love to hear those stories. And we have a lot of guests, right? That we get their evolution.
we're going to continue this topic through the month of March. Kelly said we're going to have Shannon on Second Act Success. We're going to be talking about famous women whose careers did not really start going until midlife. Let us know. DM us, message us. We'd love to hear your stories of career evolution, how your career journey has been.
Thanks for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe so you can hear our latest episodes as soon as they drop.
If you loved today's episode, share with a friend. Come visit us on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure to give us a follow. We have lots of giveaways. If you want to know more about Kelly and I, read our blogs, find more tips, tools, and resources, check that out at chasingbrighter.com. Thanks.